The Power of Henkel.
Hello to all our regular listeners and greetings today to our new joiners. We are welcoming a returning guest on the Power of Henkel podcast, Shelby Shevick, who is an application engineer and thermal materials specialist at Henkel. The last time we spoke with Shelby, she enlightened us about silicone and silicone-free thermal interface materials. And today, we're going to discuss two types of thermal interface materials, or TIMs for short, to make this discussion a little easier, phase change materials and thermal greases. So welcome back, Shelby.
Thanks, Laura. I'm happy to be here.
So there's a saying, I think, that I've heard among thermal engineers and TIM formulators that goes something like this in regards to material selection, which is, you want to select a material that's as thin as possible, but as thick as necessary. So can you shed some light on why this is true and why thin bond lines for some applications are preferred?
Yeah, definitely. That is a good one. So we always want to aim for thin bond lines because a smaller gap in between the heat sink and the heat source will result in the lowest possible thermal impedance. In reality, it's not always possible in every assembly to get an ultra-thin bond line, which is why we say as thick as necessary. We want to make sure that the material is thick enough to fully fill the gap and eliminate any presence of air. That said, the most efficient thermal heat transfer is going to occur where the heat has the smallest distance to travel.
Okay, that makes sense. So thermal engineers who are designing electronic systems then, when we're talking about these thinner materials, they generally have two options when it comes to ultra-thin bond lines. So phase change materials and thermal greases. Can you give us a basic summary of what each of those types of materials are and how they function?
Yeah, so as the name implies, for phase change materials, they will change from a dry solid into a more flowable gap-filling material when they're heated above their phase change temperature. They're available in two main forms, either a dryable paste or a film. The film can either be a phase change compound alone, or it can be coated onto each side of a carrier substrate layer. With the carrier layer, you will, of course, increase your bond line thickness, but you can get added benefits, including a dielectric barrier, which is beneficial for electrical isolation. The application process for the different types of phase change materials will vary based on form. The dryable paste can be applied by dispensing, stencil printing, or screen printing, and this can be done either manually or with an automated system. The film phase change materials are designed for ease of handling and application and can have a variety of different substrate carriers or adhesive constructions depending on the application requirements. Greases are, well, like grease. They're comprised of fillers suspended in a polymer material and will stay in that flowable medium viscosity state. Typically, they're applied in the manual process right at the point of assembly. One benefit of phase change materials is that they can be applied anywhere in the production process because after they have been applied and dried, they are stable for handling or transportation as needed.
Yeah, thanks for that explanation. I think to talk about those two elements a little bit more, handling, as you just mentioned, and performance, obviously there's personal preferences, production preferences, et cetera. But in your view, depending on the application, because it sounds like grease can be kind of a messy material, does phase change have the upper hand for both of these, handling and performance?
Well, when it comes to handling, I would say that phase change materials have an advantage over grease. There is less waste with squeeze out, less mess to clean up, which leads to less contamination. And the application of phase change materials also creates for more overall flexibility for the production process. Grease is a lot messier, but it is relatively simple material to work with. It also performs well and has been around for decades. So its appeal is that it's typically good performance for the price point. The majority of greases are relatively lower cost than phase change materials. When we start to look at long-term reliability, that's where phase change materials can perform better due to their resistance to pump out. But there are also high performance greases on the market that can meet demanding requirements for some applications too.
Okay, so I guess all things being equal, let's assume costs are relatively the same, which greases generally tend to be less expensive, not always. Do you think most pros would, most thermal professionals or, you know, people working in a manufacturing facility would select phase change just because of the handling ease?
Well, what's going to work best in each situation is really going to depend on the final application and the production needs. If you're looking for electrical isolation or have high power density applications, phase change materials are going to provide benefits that a lot of greases cannot. And that doesn't even take into consideration the application process. When it comes to handling, there's no doubt that most production teams would rather work with phase change materials over grease. Using phase change materials can help increase your throughput with automated application or even allow for pre-application at other locations before the assembly process begins. Many heatsink suppliers will have different preferences based on manufacturability. To take a look at a more specific scenario, I know of one case study where we worked with a customer on an application for their new drive system. The system had a much higher power density than their previous versions. The requirements they gave us were an easy-to-use material with very low thermal impedance, a 25 to 30-year lifetime stability, and the ability to be automated for higher throughput. In this application, our dryable paste phase change material was an obvious choice due to those demanding requirements.
Okay, that's interesting. So what about the performance for this drive application? I mean, certainly there's very formulation specific and application specific considerations, but what were the performance differences between, I would assume that this customer probably evaluated a grease as well. So what were the performance differences between phase change and grease in that case? And then I suppose in general.
Yeah, in that specific case, we tested two potential thermal grease products against our phase change material. We used Loctite TCP 7000. During thermal cycling testing from -50 to 150 C, both thermal greases failed after 600 to 800 hours, whereas the TCP 7000 did not fail even after 1,000 hours. Again, like you mentioned, this is application-specific testing, but given the requirements, the phase change material was the better performer. I also mentioned that this application required a very low thermal impedance. The value for the TCP 7000 was about 0.1 degrees Celsius square centimeter per watt, lower than the averages of the two grease options. However, there definitely are greases that can meet needs of a lot of applications too. For performance, it's just once we start seeing those higher power requirements over longer lifetimes that we start to see more concerns with grease, particularly with grease pump out. With thicker bond lines and longer thermal cycling times, the risk of pump out is only going to increase. We want to make sure that the thermal interface material you select is going to meet all your needs for the lifetime of the product. Also important to keep in mind that not all phase change materials or greases are formulated equally. Some products have unique capabilities that are going to be better for certain applications. What works well in one scenario does not always mean it's going to be the best option somewhere else.
Right, that's very true. And that's another important point that you raise is the lifetime stability. I mean, a lot of these applications are expected to last in the field 25 or 30 years, and that's a very long time, which I would assume is an area where phase change has an advantage, but certainly not one material fits all. So that's also, I think, another reason why supplier partner knowledge and product breadth is also important. That's another consideration for people designing these systems, that they have multiple options for whatever the application demands. So Shelby, yeah. I guess as our thermal materials resident expert, how do you see the market evolving in thin bond line materials? And what is the trend line for high power concentration applications and the development of phase change and grease formulas?
Well, things aren't getting any functional, that's for sure.
Obviously,
space is always a premium. So the more power you can pack into smaller spaces, that's going to be a design preference. The more heat that's generated will need to be driven out, and that creates a demand for more ultra-thin bond-line products with even lower thermal impedance values than ever. There are also trends for single devices with multiple functionalities, where we're beginning to see even larger electronic devices being introduced. With larger heat spreaders, your degree of surface flatness is more difficult to control. Multiple pressure points become necessary to hold the material in place, and this can lead to warping of the boards, which they can only withstand so much force. Materials that perform well under low pressures are going to be necessary to mitigate these issues. So Henkel is innovating new products in both phase change materials and high performance greases to meet these evolving requirements. And new formulation development is based around all of these trends, and I'm sure there's going to be even more to come.
I'm sure there will. I have no doubt. And the pressure situation that you mentioned is also critical. So these low pressure formulas that don't require, extreme pressure with the springs or screws to hold down the heat spreader, especially on these larger multi-chip devices, is going to be very critical going forward. So
Definitely. Anyway,
it's going to be super interesting to watch. That's for sure. So thank you again, Shelby, for your time. You are always a wealth of information, and I look forward to speaking with you again at some point soon.
My pleasure.
Great. So thanks, everybody, for joining us today. If you have questions about thin bond line thermal solutions for your application, you know who to call. And to all of our listeners, thanks for tuning in. If you want to learn more about Henkel's thermal solutions for power and industrial applications, visit www.henkel-adhesives.com.
The power of Henkel.